Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host.
If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. Join me on social media by searching for the handle Space and Reason. Immerse yourself in deeper thinking about your home by answering questions for yourself. In this episode, let's discuss home functionality and aesthetics as it relates to porches. Let me tell you how jealous I am of some of these folks that live in the American South, where they have enough property that their porches are grand. Grand enough for full tables to eat around, a row of rocking chairs, and a porch swing. It evokes so many emotions, as we have seen these scenes in countless movies. And there's a reason why we see them in movies. They strike a chord in all of us. If you've listened to this podcast from the beginning, you know that I enjoy using all kinds of relevant sounds to enhance your listening experience. I am creating a podcast that I personally would want to listen to, and details matter to me. So when creating this episode, I got to use sounds like breeze, children laughing, squeaking rocking chairs, and pouring tea. It's enough to make me want to pack my bags and move south. The sounds from a front porch are the most fulfilling kinds of sounds, because the front porch is an iconic feature of American homes, and it has a rich architectural history that has influenced the design of countless homes across the country. When doing research on the American front porch, I came across a website of Patrick Square. Patrick Square is a community that celebrates the American front porch. Located in Clemson, South Carolina, these front porches play an important role in neighborhoods' architectural and social fabric. Most of the homes in Patrick Square feature large front porches that encourage outdoor living and foster a sense of community among neighbors. They also provide a welcoming space for neighbors to gather, chat, and enjoy the beautiful southern weather. The porch's popularity can be traced back to the mid-19th century, when it became a prominent feature of American architecture. The early front porch designs were simple, consisting of a raised platform with steps leading up to the entrance. However, as the 19th century progressed, the front porch evolved into a larger and more decorative feature of American homes. People began using their front porches as an outdoor living space, with wrought iron railings, turned posts, and gingerbread trim becoming popular decorative features. In the early 20th century, the front porch became even more ornate and decorative as people moved to urban areas and wanted to show off their social status. The arts and crafts movement brought it back to simpler, more practical designs, but the porch remained a prominent architectural feature of American homes. During the 1920s and 1930s, the front porch became even more prominent as architects designed homes with wraparound porches, which extended around the sides and back of the house. These porches were typically screened in, and they provided an ideal space for outdoor entertaining and relaxation. The popularity of the front porch declined in the mid-20th century as air conditioning and TV led people to spend more time indoors. The front porch became a neglected space, and many homes had their porches enclosed or removed altogether. Your porch, whether front or back, could be thought of as an extension of your home, and if you don't spend hardly any time or no time there, might it be because you haven't set it up to spend time there? This is where home functionality comes into play, because this could literally extend the useful space of your home. It's more space to live in. Let's think of your porch, no matter the size, as its own room. When you Google dreamy front porches, there are several things they all have in common, and that's spaces that are thought out and that are intentional. So grab a piece of paper and a pencil, and let's write down some questions to ask yourself about your porch space and your reason. Question number one, do I have a spot to sit, or several spots to sit if space is ample enough? Question number two, is there a stable place that I can easily sit my drink when I'm sitting there? Some wire mesh top outdoor furniture can be wonky for drinks, making them easily spill. The spot to sit your drink could be as simple as the wide arm of an Adirondack chair to a side table or coffee table even. It all depends on how much space you have. Question number three, do I have an all-weather rug to ground and center my space? Interesting story. I had my back porch set up, chairs, small coffee table that had storage in it for the cushions, little tiny table, and grill, barbecue grill. And one summer, I did not put out my rug. I don't know if I forgot. I don't know what it was. The point of this story is that we didn't hardly use it at all. We didn't sit out there until I reflected on why. Why are we never out there? And then I realized, oh, I had a rug there and I never brought it back out. And as soon as I put that rug back out, we were out there barefoot. It just grounded and centered the space. It made it more comfortable to sit out there without shoes. And from that day on, it has been a key component to my outdoor space. It literally made the difference of how much we used it. Question number four, do I have a thought out color palette for my outdoor space, much like I would for my indoor space? Even if you're color shy, the outdoors is an easy place to have some fun with color. What is a color I love so much, but maybe I'm too chicken to use it inside? Could I make that color the basis for my outdoor area? If you wrote down a color here when I asked you that question and you like the idea of using it in your outdoor space, but you aren't confident in putting other colors with it, I want you to send me a direct message on my Instagram. My handle is Space and Reason. And I want you to tell me what color you love, and I'll do a post of visual combinations just for you. You can screenshot the one you like and use it when you're out and about procuring items for your space. That's a free invitation for you. Question number 5. I love thinking of what happens with the ambiance when the sun starts to set. Do I have some kind of light to add to the vibe? This could be bistro lights. This could be battery-operated micro lights in a mason jar sitting on a table. It could be solar-powered flame tiki torches or rechargeable candles. I'm sure you've seen that tall candle holders that are sometimes wood and glass to hold a light or candle. They often sit on the ground. Sometimes tiny gas fire pits are lovely if they're small enough that you don't risk catching the roof of your porch on fire. Outdoor furniture isn't always the most comfortable. So if you find that yours isn't, let's think about soft items that can help with that. Would a flat pillow help behind your back if the seat is too deep? Would a throw blanket keep you out there enjoying the space longer when the sun drops? What things of these might you have stored away already for indoors, but you aren't using? Add a cluster of plants next to your seating area. Add an option for music with a portable wireless speaker. If the sun hits you just right and you can't sit there any longer, are outdoor curtains an option for you? I'm always a fan of asking myself the questions of what is keeping me from doing or enjoying, and how can I tweak it so it's a non-issue? Now let's talk about porch swings. I don't have enough room on my porch for one, but I think they are dreamy. The history of porch swings can be traced back to the early 18th century when they were used as a bed for sleeping on hot summer nights. The earliest porch swings were made from simple wooden planks or rope hung from a tree or a porch. I wanted to read you part of a blog post I found on a website called nestedporchswings.com, which I'll link in the show notes. Her delightful post reads, quote, "Have you ever wondered why some pieces of furniture are more memorable than others? For instance, when I think of my childhood, I don't recall much about our couch or dining room set, but I have many fond memories of my brother and I jumping on our bunk beds or sitting like bookends on either side of my dad in his favorite recliner. But my most fond furniture-related memories involves summer evenings eating s'mores and telling knock-knock jokes while sitting on my Aunt Hazel's porch swing. As far as memorable pieces of furniture go, the porch swing tends to rank high on the list for a lot of folks." She later goes on to say, "In the U.S., the popularity of the porch swing is closely tied to the evolution of the front porch, which became immensely popular in the U.S. from the 1880s until around the 1940s. These were the years of new neighborhoods and shortened work days, and an era when taking time to sit with your family in the evening and watch the world go by was a treasured experience. For families to truly get the most out of a porch, furniture and decorations were a must. And while rocking chairs were a popular choice, Nothing could compete with the swinging tranquility and relaxing enjoyment of the front porch swing. By the 1950s, the popularity of hanging out on the front porch began to wane. Some historians point to increased access to automobiles that provided a new method for socializing and reduced the need to sit outside at home waiting for neighbors to stroll past. The rise in homes with air conditioning units also meant families no longer needed to escape their stuffy homes to enjoy the cooler evening air. But the most likely culprit, largely responsible for the change in how families spent their evenings, was the popularity of the new indoor forms of entertainment, such as the radio and television set. During this same time, backyards, back porches, and patios were rising in popularity as people began to seek more privacy. In response, home builders began to phase out the front porch, replacing them with small stoops, landings, or porticos. End quote. Just like the inside of your home, the ability to edit is a section for me when I assess home functionality. So sometimes creating a lovely usable space that you enjoy is as much about what you don't have there as it is what you do have there. Make sure that clutter isn't abundant. Don't bring home more stuff than you have room for, or cast off items from the inside to the porch, simply moving clutter. That's also not helpful for you. Since porches could mean front or back, I don't want to leave out front door mats. And I did a whole episode on front door mats, which I'll link to in the show notes. So I won't go into it here, since you can listen to that by clicking the link in the show notes right after you're done with this. As much as I can help you to think about creating a porch that you'll want to enjoy, also get into the habit of gifting yourself that time. Even if it means setting an alarm on your phone at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday morning to go have coffee on the front porch. Whatever it takes to bring it top of mind until you naturally remember that's a place both inviting and enjoyable to me. As a realtor who includes complimentary light staging with every listing, porches are a big deal, and I even have a set of turquoise margarita glasses I use to help people imagine what sitting on this porch might be like for them. Reading a book, not taking the call, not being compelled by obligation. If you need some home functionality help, connect with me by clicking the link in the show notes. Even if you don't know what's wrong with your space, part of my job is to figure that out. I review aesthetics and furniture choices. We talk about the floor plan, the ability to identify sources of friction, automation, hacks and habits, the ability to edit, and organization. Not every person needs everything. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. If you'd like to hire me to list your home and you live in the greater Metro Portland, Oregon area, click on my calendar link and let's discuss your timeline. If you enjoyed this show, take a second to rate this episode and share it. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.